All right, so we got an emergency pod for College Across Cast. And like always when I have these pods, I'm not talking about College Across, really. We're discussing Major League Lacrosse, and a big problem has arisen from the league. It's not one of those little press release errors or tweet errors or graphic errors or whatnot. It's a pretty big legal matter. So we'll discuss that in length in a little bit. This is an emergency edition of the College Crosscast. Mount up. Welcome to this emergency edition of the College Crosscast. I am your host, Chris Dostremski, and we'll dabble in a few other things in here, as well as the 60-second shot clock in fall ball and some Eagles news that just broke while we were recording, involving a fan favorite player. But we begin with the reason why we're doing this podcast in the first place, and it involves Major League Lacrosse. What a shock, right? Nah, not really. But it's a little bit different. They haven't played a game in about 2 weeks with that MLL championship game, which Ohio defeated Denver to win the MLL championship. We've heard rumors and reports and sources telling us that the Rochester Rattlers are moving to Dallas. Some of them have said no, but more of them have said yes. We've even heard a nice little tidbit about where they will be and how the news broke to some of the players on the team. But this is a lot bigger than a team moving or an error on social media or an error in a press release that the MLL has done. A lot bigger. So let's get to the point right here, right now, today, which began actually on Wednesday. So Major League Lacrosse had a spreadsheet out for their player movement, eligible players that came out on Monday, today, which we're recording. Put it out, sent that out to the public, apparently. And, alright, so they have the player info, player name, last name, and team, right? Not necessarily. Players such as Chris Bocklet, Stephen Brooks, Kevin Buchanan, Ned Crotty, Tucker Durkin, who just won Defensive Player of the Year, Davey Emela, Ryan Flanagan, who his name will come up later on, John Galloway, Greg Grenlin, who just retired, Cody Jamison, let's see, Eric Law, who just won Offensive Player of the Year in the league, Jordan McIntosh, Will Manny, got traded from Boston earlier in that controversial trade, JoJo Marasco, Brody Merrill, Tommy Palasek, Jerry Raganes, who has mentioned his voice on Twitter, Scotty Rogers, a big goalie, Logan Schuss, Max Seabolt, Brian Spallina, Garrett Thule, and a bunch of Joel White and Chaz Woodson. They have applied for player movement. Okay, great. Only one problem with that is the MLL, the league itself, leaked what they are calling a data incident, in which that link on their player pool registration page was connected to a spreadsheet that included the following: their full name, full name, height, weight, position, college, graduation year, team, and the non-MLL occupation. Great, okay, that doesn't seem that bad, right? They also include their telephone number, their home address, their email address, their social security number, and their citizenship, which is private information that could be used to scam players if someone was able to get a hold of that info. Now, this went up on Wednesday, and the league was aware of it on a Thursday, and this was not released to the public it was actually just released out to players and even some reporters who got that email on Monday. Today, as we're recording. So that's a span of about 4 days since the league was aware and 5 days since the original incident happened. And that's not good at all. Because you're already, first off, a struggling league to begin with. Trying to get some sponsors, trying to get investors. You have Powerade, you have Coca-Cola, which is part of Powerade, which is part of Coca-Cola, Geico, and all these other lacrosse sponsorships. And then all of a sudden, this happens. There's concern over the fact that its player is great, but the fact that just simple caring isn't going along with this, with putting up a spreadsheet that has personal info of all these players. Imagine if someone got this. That is scary to think of. With guys that don't make a lot of money playing in this league, and then these hackers or scammers trying to get their identities and using it to their advantage. It's not a great look at all. So, there will probably be a lot of legal action to come from this. We haven't heard officially yet from the league itself. As of recording right now, it's about 9 o'clock, so LAC Sports Network is currently doing lacrosse now, their show. I don't have a subscription to it, so if something happens that they say something about it, sorry. You'll have to find that on Twitter. But nothing has come out of the MLL's mouth, nothing of LSN, which is pretty much owned by Major League Lacrosse. We have sent emails out to the guy that actually sent the email from the league. First of all, we also sent it to David Gross, the commissioner, for comment. Nothing yet. And then Colin Keane, the lacrosse operations manager of Major League Lacrosse. We have not heard anything back from them regarding this. We're not sure if we ever will. But expect legal matter about this. And we've heard a lot of players, such as Reganess, come out. Reganess actually, well, first of all, in the email sent to the players, I'll read this email out to you. It was sent to a reporter. I'm not sure if he actually was part of it, but here comes the email from Colin Keane. Dear such and such, we are sending you this email to inform you of a data incident that occurred on Wednesday, August 23rd, 2017, that involves some of your personal information. Take this as a player email. We take the privacy and protection of your information very seriously and accordingly recommend that you closely review the information provided in this email for steps that you may take to protect yourself against the potential misuse of your information. On Thursday, August 24th, 2017, we became aware that a link on our player pool registration inadvertently linked to an Excel spreadsheet which contained your full name, address, telephone number, email address, social security number, citizenship, date of birth, height, weight, position, college, graduation year, team, and non-MLL occupation. Upon discovery, we immediately disabled this link and began an investigation into the matter. Although the investigation has just begun and is very much ongoing, given the sensitive nature of the information, we wanted to notify you of the incident now, aka 4 days after the league was aware of this and 5 days after it happened. We will be sending you a formal notice once further information is learned, including access to prepaid credit monitoring. In the meantime, we'd strongly advise you to immediately take the following steps. First one is establish free 90-day fraud alerts with the three credit reporting bureaus. Their telephone numbers and websites are listed. It was Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. Two, consider placing a credit freeze on your accounts, which will make it more difficult for someone to open an account. For more information, and a link to it, consumer.ftc.gov link. And Jerry Reganess actually tweeted out that it was a bad link that the MLL sent them. So, once again, another sensitive matter turning into another error for the league and another bad look. And then the third one was, if you become a victim of identity theft, file a complaint with the FTC at their website, identitytheft.gov, and law enforcement. The FTC also provides detailed and specific information about identity theft at their website, which we recommend you review. We realize that this is a lot of information, but we wanted to provide you with immediate steps that you can take to protect yourself while this investigation is ongoing. You will receive further information as it is discovered. Please do not hesitate to call or email us with any questions or concerns you may have, Colin Keene and his info. Also, we will follow up with you as further information becomes available, as he said multiple times in that email. So, it seems that, obviously, they know about it, but the fact that it had to take 4 days to recognize that this happened is unbelievable. It's unacceptable, too. And I've been talking to multiple, a reporter of mine that I know that I met, New York Daily News guy, and I asked him, like, do you think the league could be, like, done? He mentioned to me that if you're an investor, if there's an investor in Major League Lacrosse, they're running out. Because this is any time that a company, whether it's in sports or somewhere else, Target it happened to, let's Target, if the NFL ever happened, that'd be a big deal. A huge deal. Because that would be a lot of firing. If this happened in a big company, their value would decrease, is definitely going to decrease substantially. They are going to lose employers, they're going to lose money. It is not a good look at all, and it puts a black eye on the company, and in this case, it'll put a huge black eye on the league once again, because this is even worse than just the lacrosse community pointing out their stats are wrong. Injuries, calls, press releases, whatnot. We also got this comment inside lacrosse. Kyle Devitt got Ryan Flanagan, member of the Players Council, New York Blizzards defenseman, who is also on this list. And this is what he told Kyle Devitt, and he said, quote, "This is unacceptable and inexcusable. The spreadsheet that was shared publicly with player information has been shared privately on more than one occasion. Players have previously requested that the file not be shared with anyone and that any files with player information be encrypted and password protected. This request was clearly ignored. On top of that, the issue of player information being shared publicly was brought to the attention of the league on August 23rd. The league did not send a note to those impacted until August 28th. The individuals that were aware of the information breach went home for the weekend without making the players aware that their personal information was shared publicly. This is unacceptable. We greatly appreciate Commissioner David Gross offering prepaid credit monitoring to those impacted. However, the players of MLL have continued to create an outstanding on-field product for fans and deserve better treatment off the field in a variety of areas, including the protection of our personal information," end quote. That says a lot. Flanagan has been one of the most well-spoken players in regards to the treatment of players off the field and the treatment of the league itself. And he is absolutely 100% right. How in the world does the league not think about what the players are saying when they want something that's encrypted information, private information that they have, encrypted and password protected so that no one outside of them or the league could see this info? And it was ignored. And the fact that it took 5 days from when it first happened to now on Monday for the league to send something out saying, oh, we had a big mistake, I'm sorry, that's not good at all in the first place. They had an entire weekend where people could have, they had no clue about their info. Luckily, just a day or a few hours that was up, but the fact that it took 4 days from when the investigation that the MLL was saying started till now, that's not even good. That's bad. And by the way, David Gross is still the commissioner. He was supposed to step down at the end of the 2017 season. There's been zero update on his status. His successor. None at all ever since he announced that he was stepping down. There's just been a search, and that's it. How does this impact the league trying to find a new commissioner with this info coming out? There's got to be people that are not only backing out as investors and possible owners and whatnot. There's got to be people backing out of that. Does Gross need to stay? He might have to. We might not have the MLL anymore, to be quite honest. I wouldn't be shocked if the league goes down the drain because of this. Because this is huge. This is public, finally, players speaking out saying the MLL has screwed with us multiple times. We have asked them to be a lot better with the treatment off the field. The on-the-field product is great, but off-field is just horrendous. And we know this because I have ranted about this twice already. And you can see the article that we posted on collegecross.com about this. But they have not had any respect at all throughout the season. The only time that maybe the league made a player savvy was All-Star weekend. And that wasn't really the league. It was the New Balance chairman, Jim Davis. He raised the MVP check from $1,000, which is the typical MLL thing, to $10,000. Miles Jones won it. He split it with his entire teammates. And after that, it's just been horrible after horrendous error after bad error after bad error, and then this is the pinnacle of horrendous errors. Whoever did this is fired. They might have to fire everybody. Get rid of Commissioner Gross. I wonder if players might start another league where they run things, where they have someone, a former player at least, running things. Grenlian could run things because he just retired. Because if this happens to the Major League Lacrosse, I don't know what this means for LSN, which, by the way, has never really said they are owned by Major League Lacrosse, or technically they're owned by Lax United Marketing, which is operated by MLL. So they're technically not, but really they are, because they also have the same office, pretty much, and the MLL just uses LSN's content and whatnot. Just rebrand, by the way, which I don't think that'll ever happen. What does this mean for the CAA? You know? Because the CAA has a contract with LSN, which is part of MLL. Will they be interested in staying with their deal with LSN? What they want to get out of it because of what just happened with the MLL. Sometimes the players need to make a lot of action, and this is their time to make this action. If they're going to just sit around and just do nothing and say, hey, this is unacceptable, that's it. They need to sue. This is a lawsuit waiting to happen. A huge lawsuit against the league. Because players have their personal info out to the public for a little bit. That's unacceptable. I'm not sure how many players will decide to push lawsuits forward to the league, but they should. They absolutely should. No doubt about it. Here's some tweets that we got from early in the day. First of all, from Jerry Reganess again. You couldn't sell a comedy script written based on the blunders of MLL Lacrosse this season. A movie company would say it's too unbelievable. Yeah. I can see that. It's like a slapstick comedy. Jack Reed, a former Boston Cannon, love, in capitals, getting a notice from MLL Lacrosse that they put players' personal information out on the web for all to see. Totally unacceptable. Florida launches Jimmy Daly, MLL Lacrosse. And he tweeted out a pic of the Zac Efron shrugs, I don't know what I'm doing. When the players ask where their identities went, and the MLL is over Zac Efron's face, just having his hands up, not knowing what they're doing, what he's doing. And to cap it off, Ryan Flanagan, could there be a more appropriate way to cap off this summer? No. And we've discussed, as I said, suspension protocol, infrastructure of the league, stats. I've rambled about it, the league, so many times. And then just recently also, you know, the email just about a couple, like what, last week? Did it come out last week? Yeah, last week. Exactly this time last week. When Michael Unterstein, the Florida launch, got suspended the first two games of 2018, which, you know, might not happen anymore. He got suspended, but the email had subject headline that came out was MLL to exclusively use really AI to generate playoff highlights. Playoffs already were done. So, again, another blunder from the MLL, and it's the biggest one so far this year, and probably ever, because let's face it, when you screw up that bad, that's unacceptable. Still nothing yet from the league about this matter. By the way, about a little bit about the player movement, this second league, second season with the player movement policy in effect. Players with at least five straight seasons in the MLL and an expiring contract may declare their intent to seek opportunities with other MLL teams. If that player agrees on a contract with his new team, with a new team, his former team may receive compensation in the form of a collegiate draft pick. So pretty much, it's kind of not free agency in the fact that, hey, these guys are free agents, but if you pick them up, you have to give up a draft pick, which kind of makes no sense to me. I don't think it makes any sense. Because if they're expiring and if you don't want to pick them up, then why give up something? So they're technically, for the most part, all restricted free agents. Just call it like that. We'll see where this goes with Major League Lacrosse. I don't know where this will go with Major League Lacrosse. Could this be the end of Major League Lacrosse? I would think so. I wouldn't rule it out. I would definitely not rule it out. What would this mean for National Lacrosse League, the Box League? Would more of these pro players in field go play NLL next year? They certainly can, and they probably might, because they still have some time to sign up for their play for the draft combine in a little bit. So we'll see where that goes. We'll see if another league might start up to compete with the MLL if that's out of business. If that's not out of business, but it's a bad sign for the MLL in a time where they need no more bad marks. Does this change the fact that, well, Rochester still moved to Dallas, which probably will happen, 100% will probably happen, to Dallas, the Dallas Rattlers? We'll find out. Because, once again, they are not owned by a private investor. They are owned by Jim Davis of New Balance. So even if they just moved to Dallas, that doesn't mean anything to the league, because Jim Davis is still the owner. We'll have to find out, but this is another ugly incident involving the league and involving the players. And I'm not totally sure if even reporters got info leaked, because the email that we got that I read recently was from that was from directed to a reporter, but it seemed like nothing was changed from the reporter from the player email that was sent out to everybody. So we'll find out more info as this comes along. We'll keep you posted on collegecross.com. All right. Going to college news right now. And the 60-second shot clock. I like it. I like it because I'm a big fan of the... I'm a big proponent of the shot clock. Maybe would have gone 90 instead of 60. But now it eliminates questionable shot clocks and different shot clock calling from the refs in each game. Some might go slow, some might go fast, some might be in the middle. This is a standard shot clock warning for all teams that do fall ball. It's only for fall ball. I don't think we'll see it in the 2018. We might see it in the 2019. But it's a big step forward in my in the right direction, in my opinion. And again, I believe we will have an opportunity to test it for Syracuse when we play Maryland Stony Brook in October. Hopefully we do. And if I feel like it's good, I'll let you know. If it's bad, I'll let you know too. I would have gone maybe 90 seconds to maybe slow it down a little bit, but if it's a little too fast paced, we'll see how that goes. But you know, don't want to see a 2-point arc though. Do not want to see a 2-point arc in ML in a college game. You can keep it in the MLL if it ever lasts, because who knows at this point. But keep the way the field is in college, keep it the way it is in high school, because and the FIL, they don't have a 2-point arc. The MLL is the only league that has or would had or had a 2-point arc, depending on when you listen to this and what happens with the league, if they fold or not, which I don't know they will. Again, so we'll wait and see. I'm excited to see what happens. Ohio State's playing in MLL rules against Ohio Machine in a month, in October. So we'll see how that goes for the reigning runner-up, national runner-ups. Finally, as I mentioned, some disappointing Eagles news to bring up. And that is the Eagles, as we were recording this, long snapper John Dorenbos got traded to the New Orleans Saints for a 2019 seventh round pick. For some reason, why would the Saints want a veteran long snapper and they trade away a 2019 seventh round pick? I don't know. I don't care. It's about Dorenbos, because he was a hell of a guy. One of the nicest guys I've ever met, whether it was publicly in a public setting or a training camp. My 2 years here at training camp, hopefully it'll be more later on. But he was such a great guy in the community, doing a lot of public appearances, his magic tricks, wing bowl. America's Got Talent especially just got known last year. So I will miss John Dorenbos. Rick Lovato is the next long snapper. You know, Dorenbos got hurt last year. So that might be why they went back to Lovato, who took over for Dorenbos at the end of last season. So we'll find out how well Lovato does in his role. Certainly won't be a John Dorenbos as a person. Will he be a consistent long snapper? Let's hope. But we have about a week and a half until the first game against Washington. So can't wait for that. That will do it for this short but important emergency college crosscast. I'm Chris Jastrzemski. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at CF Jastrzemski. Follow College Cross on Twitter at college_cross. And like us on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/collegecross. We will see you soon and stay hydrated. It is still warm. Not as warm, but stay hydrated out there.